Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba', Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today, the 6th of Dhul Qadah, 1442, corresponding to the date 17th June 2021. Today's topic will be youth in Islam. So we're following a sequence, as last week was Tarbiyatul Awlad, nurturing of children. After nurturing the children, we address our youth. Remember to send your questions through to 08-084-786-3132. A foreign country will dial +278-4786-3132. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Zaid Khan, Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, we know you always teach us that we should go back to the Quran and the Hadith for every instance. What does the Quran say about the youth and the Hadith say about the youth in Islam?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem, Amma Ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in fact Mawlana Zahid was is what Almighty Allah commands us to do. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Any issue where you want to discuss the dispute or whatever there is a problem, then refer that matter first to Almighty Allah, the Quran Sharif, and then second to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you believe in Almighty Allah and the last day, meaning you believe in the articles of faith. So let us see here, both words are used, the singular and the plural. We see the first incident, Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu salam, his Mubarak blessed name is mentioned 69 times in the Noble Quran. Chapter 14 is dedicated to this mighty, mighty messenger, Khalilullah Abraham Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, and Surah 14 is dedicated to him, as I mentioned. And Ibrahim means Abun Rahim, the compassionate father. Where he was, he saw those people, they believed in celestial creation, they believed in the sun, in the moon, in the stars and so forth. So one day he told them, after looking upwards, فَنَظَرَ نَظْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. He told them, I'm sick. They took the meaning physically sick. He meant I'm spiritually sick with your kufr, shirk, blasphemy, polytheism. And then he went and he smashed all their idols to smithereens and pieces. And what happened after that? Then he faja'alahum juzada illa kabiran lahum la'allahum ilayhi yarji'un. So he smashed it to smithereens and pieces, the idols, the deities, except the big one. And the axe he put there on the big one. And this is enshrined in Surah 21, Surah Anbiya. So they came back and then they realized that their gods and idols and what are smashed to pieces. Then they said, Surah 21 verses 58, 59, 60. I'm reading Surah 21 verse 60 now. Qalu sami'na fata. We heard there's a youngster, a youth. So fata is a youngster one individually. And yadhkuruhum, they speak of him, yuqalu lahu Ibrahim. So subhanallah, in his youth already, that he destroyed and he smashed the idols to pieces and smotherings. So today, that must be our job. If we can't do it physically, then at least we must do so with our da'wat, our tabligh. Invite people away from the darknesses in which they are groping in and towards the light, radiance, effulgence of Islam. So if you ask the Christian, you ask the Hindu, you ask the Jew, you ask the Buddhist, you ask the atheist, and once you start stimulating their mind, they themselves will start wondering, but yes, this person has raised many relevant one points, and then they will realize that Islam is the only true religion which has a constitution that is in its pristine purity. No one else, you ask the Jew, you ask the Christian, where is your divine book and scripture, and how many different versions of it do you have? Even the versions get confused and so forth. So we see the word Fatah is used there. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam inspiring the youth and humanity already. Islam teaches us pure Tawheed, oneness, uniqueness of Almighty Allah. Therefore Almighty Allah made it clear to the Jews, to the Christians, to the polytheists, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Jew, was not a Christian. Therefore today when they speak of Abrahamic faith and all that, is all fairy tales. The Jews, Christians don't follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. They got so many other things going there. So remember that only Muslims, we follow Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Prophet Ibrahim was a Muslim. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And nor was he from the polytheists worshipping idols or so. Surah 3 verse number 67, Almighty Allah has mentioned it clearly. We are told in Islam every Friday, tonight is the night of Friday, tomorrow. So tonight after Maghrib, after Isha, tomorrow after Fajr, anytime, a person is told to read Surah Kahf. You know Ghar, Ghar means a narrow cave, and Kahf means a broad cave. So Surah Kahf we are supposed to read chapter number 18. So why must we read that? If you read Surah Kahf, for every strata of society, there's a big lessons there. So Almighty Allah speaks of the seven youngsters. There in Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam story incident, we see Fatah. And yea is mentioned, innahum fityatun amanu. So fatan singular, fitya plural. So these seven youngsters, amanu bi rabbihim, they brought iman in Almighty Allah. The king, the ruler of that time there, warned them, intimidated them, blackmailed them. Tomorrow if you gave the same answer that you gave me today, there's Allah, one Allah and so forth, I will execute you. Lo and behold, they will remain steadfast, and the is mentioned in Surah 18, Surah Kahf, and verse number 13. So Almighty Allah is praising them. They went away from there. They begged Almighty Allah and read a dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Chapter 18, Surah Kahf, verse number 10. Oh Allah, you guide us and give us, envelope us with your mercy, and arrange for us what is best for us, Ya Allah. Lo and behold, seven of them, the dog's name was Kitmir, and the seven of them, they went in the mouth of the cave, and the Kahf, the broad cave, and the mouth closed. They stayed there. The people couldn't find them. How long they stayed? Subhanallah, this is karamatan. Out of honor for them, Almighty Allah states, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِيَةِ سِنِينَ وَزْدَادُوا تِسْآهِ. 300 solar years and 309 lunar years. So this is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 18, verse 25. Tonight you read it, tomorrow you read it. Authentic hadith in Sunan Nasai. Man qara'a surat al-kahf yawm al-jumu'ah. You read Surah Kahf on a Friday. Adha'a lahu min al-nur ma bayn al-jumu'atayn. Almighty Allah will bless you with nur, radiance, effulgence from one Friday right till the next Friday. Imagine. So it shows that there are great, great lessons, whether Anbiya alayhi salam, like Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, whether Awliyaullah, like the Ashab Kahf, this is karamat for them, honor for them, or whether you take the hadith in Bukhari, Muslim Sharif, where Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of our children and our youth and ourselves, Nabi alayhi salam's hadith, sab'atun yudhilluhumullahu fi dhillihi, yawma la dhilla illa dhillu. Seven people, seven categories, Allah Jalla Wala will place them under His shade. And remember, on that day there will be no shade but the shade of Almighty Allah. Imamun Adilun, the ruler that's just. And second one, which has to do with our topic, was Shabun Nasha'a fi Ibadati Rabbi. the youngster who grows up, but he has so much energy, but he's not wasting his time with his cell phone, boyfriend, girlfriend, friends, and all these type of haram activities. He's growing up, developing in the worship of Allah, in the ta'at, obedience of Almighty Allah. He suppresses his desires. So such a person, because he made such a big sacrifice, Allah Jalla Wala will shower him with his mercy tomorrow on the day of justice, that he will be under the shade of Allah Ta'ala's shade. Some ulama say under the shade of Almighty Allah's throne. So whatever you want to say, it's fine. But the lesson we must learn, look at the virtue of our youth, and they are the one that we should invest in and give them orientation and direction.
MashaAllah, good advice for us as youth to focus our attention in this field, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the contributions, Mufti Sahib, of the youth, of the past youth in Islam?
So many we can give, but I'll just mention five or six for you, inshallah, because of time constraint and so forth. Take the time of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We looked at Sibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Nawasa, the beloved grandsons of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. It is the second year of the Hijrah, and during Ramadan they got married. Third year of the Hijrah, then Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu is born. Fourth year of the Hijrah, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is born. So when you take now from there, when Nabi alayhi salam's demise took place, one youngster, Sayyidina Hassan, was 8 years old, and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was 7 years old. But what they did, subhanallah, not only who the Nana, Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was, who is, who will always be, the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah, loved them, and they loved the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but see, at that tender age, they were learning also. Go open Mustada Ahmad, you will find 12, 13 ahadith reported by him, by Sayyidina Hassan, radiallahu Ta'ala, and directly from his Nana, from Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, I give you two that are very famous. In Tirmidhi Sharif it is mentioned that Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that which places you in doubt, and offer that in which there is no doubt. This is not only to do with eating, drinking and foodstuff and so forth. Our business, our transactions, everything in life, rather stay away from things that are doubtful. That's a usul, a principle in Islam. Second one, you know, today is difficult times for the Ummah, whether in Palestine, in Kashmir, in Syria, Rohingya, Burma, all these problems here we see, Yemen and Kashmir and so forth. So remember, we tell the Imams, honorable Imams, read, Qunut Nazila, Allahumma Hdina Fiman Hadait. So who narrated this? Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. So 12, 13 ahadith he reported. Then you see Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and 8 ahadith. He, at that young age, when Nabi alayhi salam passed away, was only 7 years old, born in the 4th year, and in 11th year was the demise of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But see, he gave his life for the love of Islam, and he became the Shaheed of Karbala radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. So these are the lessons that we learn from them, such as youth. Then there's another Sahabi who was a very close friend of Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein. When we take the two of them, we call them Hassanain radiallahu anhuma. So that was Usama bin Zaid. Now here is a big lesson for us to learn, especially we in South Africa. We all know our history of the white minority regime, the apartheid regime and so forth. And Usama radiallahu anhu was dark in complexion. Why? Because his father is Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, and his mother is Baraka. Her name was Baraka, blessing. And her kunya was Umme Ayman. And she looked after Nabi alayhi salatu salam after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's biological mother, Sayyida Amina. So we must remember that. So when he, Sayyidina Zaid radiallahu anhu, married her, barakah Umm Ayman that that marriage gave. So they were fair in complexion, but it means Zaid, but the mother was a little bit dark, African lady, and the son, that is, you must remember, fell more on the mother's side. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, it will always be, rahmatan lil alameen, the mercy to the entire universe and creation. The Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell, bring Usama to me, and Nabi alayhi salam would carry him, Nabi alayhi salam would kiss him, all these type of things, to show that in Islam we don't judge people by their complexion and their race and so forth and so on. So much so, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Siddiqa, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, O Aisha Siddiqa, when his nose is running, you know children, sometimes they are mucus and all that comes out, clean it and so forth. So he was elder than Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, all of them. And one of the last advices Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to this ummah, as-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum, guard your salat, that is hukukul ibad, wa ma malakat aymanukum, that is hukukullah, guard your salat, and hukukul ibad, fulfill the rights of people over whom you have authority, your employees, your wife, your children, all of them. وَنَفِّذُوا جَيْشَ أُسَامَةَ And tell Usama's army, they must go out. Lo and behold, he was only 18 years old at times. So imagine that was a large army, large jamaat Nabi alayhi salam sent out. And senior sahaba were in part of that army. So why? They were going to the place where Sayyidina Zayd, Haritha, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an, and then were martyred in that area in Jordan, Mu'ta, nearby, not far from there. So Nabi alayhi salam gave him the honor. So imagine that, I mean, authentic hadith, this open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad and so forth. Then you come to more our times, you go to Istanbul. And who's the conqueror? Fatih Istanbul. Fatih of yours, then Constantinia and all that. So it was Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. Subhanallah, at the age of 22 years old, remember that he already conquered that. And he brought the Roman Empire back to his knees and so forth. So go and see Gibraltar, Jabal al-Tariq. Till today it's called Gibraltar. Why? Tariq bin Ziyad. When Tariq bin Ziyad and the seven ships, they left from North Africa, and lo and behold, they crossed the Iberian Peninsula and they entered Spain and Portugal. All this area is called Iberia. So he was 22 years old, 23 years old. They took the boats, according to some historians, and they burnt it. And he said, Ya Allah, we will establish Islam here, yeah, or either we give our life. Subhanallah, what he did, Tariq bin Ziyad and them. So subhanallah, that they conquered Spain, they made it Muslim Andalus, that it stayed there. 787 years plus minus, Muslims ruled there for 8 centuries almost. So understand what a glorious history we have, that you read about Sindh and Muhammad bin Qasim at the age of 17. At the age of 17, our youngsters can't even pass matric exam properly. So you must remember, he's conquering Sindh and all these type of places. Futiha Sindh, Thumma Futiha al-Hind. So Sindh was first conquered and then India was conquered. So that is what Muhammad bin Qasim and them did. And then you come to Palestine, look at our children, our flowers there. So they're taking on the most powerful army there in the Middle East. Who can do that? Be honest, any one of us here in South Africa, you think we can stand there? 99% of us, we will run away. But they have that jazbah, that zeal, enthusiasm. And they say, do whatever you want to. Biddam, biruh, biddam, nafdika ya Aqsa. That, oh Aqsa, for you we give our life, for you we give our blood, we will liberate you. And then the jutla, the terrorists can never do. So we must remember that. So they fear death. Quran even says that. They want to live for thousand years. So it is the sacrifices of the mothers and the children and the men of Palestine and Gaza and so forth and so on. so on. One lesson I just want to share here with you. Go study every one of these great, great people. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, became blind in his youth. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, his father passed away when he was 1 year old, 1.5 year old. Imagine now you're still going to grow up, you have your whole life. But the mothers, they played a central, pivotal role, crying, begging, petitioning, Almighty Allah, Imam Bukhari's eyesight is restored. Umm Bukhari, Umm Muhammad bin Ismail, Rahimahullah sees Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. O mother of Bukhari, go see your son. Allah blessed him with basarat and basirat, with sight and insight and foresight. See. Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith he became. And subhanallah, there's not one scholar in Islam today who can say he can become a scholar, but he doesn't study and learn about Bukhari Sharif. And it took him 16 years to write that work. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, that at a tender age, he was born in Gaza in 150. 2 years old, his mother took him from there and they landed in Makkah. His first teacher, African teacher, Muslim in Ibrahim Zanji. And subhanallah, he grows up. At the age of 7, he learns, becomes Hafiz of Quran. At the age of 10, he by heart Mu'atta Malik. At the age of 15, 15, the teacher, Muslim in Ibrahim, Adina Lahu bil Iftah. He told him, I give you permission, you can issue fatwas. Because such a genius he was. So see, when he goes to Baghdad, from Baghdad he's going now there, he's making a farewell, bidding farewell, 199. And his last 4 or 5 years, in 204, he passed away. So they asked him, you understand, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the celebrated student, tell us about Shafi'i. He said, Ash-Shafi'i ka shamsi lid-dunya. Shafi'i was, will always be like the sun is for the world. He illuminated the world with his knowledge. So you, my mothers, remember you have to play a critical, pivotal role in the upbringing. You can't be wasting time with Hollywood, Bollywood and cell phone and then expect your child to be a Shafi'i, Malik, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. It will never happen, remember that. That what we plant, that is what we will see. So that what the mothers did. That was the father's income was halal. The mothers were on the musalla, tahajjud guzar, pious, devout ladies. And then you saw their children became qurrata ayun. So that's how they developed the youth. We must remember that.
Mufti Saab, what challenges do the youth face? For example, drugs, all of that. Can Mufti Saab elaborate on this?
If we look at our modern day society, there are about 5 challenges you must remember the youngsters face. Now this youngster grows up. So the first challenge he faces is education. Which type of education must we give him? Therefore, when people ask me, they say, I want to make my son, my daughter, Hafiz, and so forth. I say, very good. But I tell you 2-3 advices. Advice number 1 is, make sure your son, your daughter, start the Hafiz and end the Hafiz before they become baligh and mature. Because once they become baligh, then too many problems. Now the boys are already thinking about girlfriends. Hamnia Hafiz forgot his Quran because he was so busy with his cell phone and girlfriends and so forth. We know of all these incidents. Second one, when the girl becomes baligha, then there's big problems for her because now she can't touch Quran, she can't read Quran while she is in the menses and so forth. So we see that there are challenges already. That which type of education. Second advice I give them, select the right teacher. Don't ever keep on changing. First 5 Jews, 5-10 Jews, first 10 Jews by this Ustad, then no, this Ustad, he shouted my son or he gave hiding or whatever. And now we're going to take him out, take him to this teacher, that teacher. You broke the heart of the teacher. I know so many students, when we were in Darul Newcastle, so subhanallah, after 1 month, 6 months, they change. Till today, they're not Hafiz. Or if they became Hafiz, katchu Hafiz, and then they forgot the Quran. Because you broke the hearts of so many teachers. So learn to take your parents parents and you son and daughter, that try and make sure that you win the heart of the teacher. And once the teacher loves you, he's going to cry for you, and then you will go very far in life. You must remember these things here, how our du'as of our parents are important, the du'as of our teachers are also very, very important. So that's one. Number two, the actual point I want to make is this here. When I told you there will be five, so quickly let me just go through it. You see, that today what we have done, take a South African person or anywhere in the world, I'll give you how I went to school and so forth. So in the morning, we used to go to school. We wear our short pants, everything, grey trouser and shirt and all that in summer, tie and whatever you. And then in the afternoon, in winter time, you wear long trouser, blazer, this, that, you go to school. Then afternoon, you go madrasa, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, this, that. So there, that time, nobody used to worry too much about kurta and all that. You just wear topi and long trouser, and then you go. So remember, so the thing is, and today you got Muslim schools and whatever you. So the thing is that we sending cross messages to our children. What is the cross message? So for this, you need to understand the meaning of secularism. Sometime, before it was Lord, but nowadays because I speak against it, so they don't invite me. Before, so many Muslim schools used to invite me. And then I hear the principal, or the Amir, or the person giving some report, he say, these are our secular subjects, and these our dini or religious subjects. Do you know what you are talking? You need to understand philology. What is philology? Go study tarikhul alfaz. Go study the history of those words. If you speak of secularism, secularism in Arabic is called al-almaniya. So you must remember that secularism means to remove people and move them away from Allah, from God, and to build and advocate and promote a godless society. Now imagine in our Muslim school, our madrasa, our so forth and so on, they're speaking of secular subjects, S-E-C-U-L-A-R. But they don't understand what is the real meaning of it. So for a Muslim to use a Maulana or an Amir or principal to use these kind of words is actually an insult. So you're telling the students the unintended consequences that we're going to teach you such subjects that remember what, that are secular studies. So that is going to put in. Now take today's example. Not one of our parents, not one of our jamiats, our ulama and so forth, will release a statement, you must remember, against the government, against the educational authorities, that why that are you imposing upon us this LGBT business and so forth. Who is they going to do it? Because we want that matric certificate, we want their syllabi, So you see, we are at cross purposes. You must remember that. So what we do, we take their system and then we just teach some Islamic sciences, Islamic subjects and all. And the parent is happy, Marupoiro will get, Maripoiri will get the matric and so forth. But see the unintended consequences that now the curriculum is evolving. The syllabi is changing, all these things here. So what is happening? You have Islam and you have secularism, and these are two opposites totally. Who is going to challenge the government, take them to court or whatever the case might be? Nobody will do that. Illa mashallah, one, two ulama or somebody will do. I speak in Chennai, nobody will do that. So that is where we are today. You go to the Muslim countries, Arab countries, they already suffer from a complex. In their hearts and minds, it is written and embedded and already enshrined that white is right and west is the best. They suffer from the inferiority complex. So that is what today the Ummah is like this. You go to any Arab country, go to any Muslim country, I've been to so many, and I just look at them, you know. I say, you, what fools and idiots you are, you know. So we live in a Western country, we saw everything, they want to go and imitate and mimic that. So that's one big crisis. Now what happens when this happens? That the Muslim child grows up, and he grows up, remember, losing his identity. How he loses his identity. In the morning he went to school, in the afternoon he went madrasa, or they combined everything. But even in the school, he will see the secular system, the secular subjects are given mahdha preference and time compared to the religious ones. So religion becomes secondary. When I was in America 2000, this was my e-talk I gave them. I said, I studied your people's system. I'm here 6 weeks. 4 weeks, there was no classes at all, Saturday, Sunday. And remember that 1-2 weeks, there were classes. So I saw how the classes were conducted. You, the parents, you're making your children ideal candidates for irtidad and to leave Islam and become murtad. Yes, you got your American passport. Yes, your children got the American passport. I visited some of your homes. You're leading a very comfortable life. Everybody was a big, big doctor. Not ordinary, you know, just a general for practitioner. No, everyone, big shot, you understand, specialist and nurse and so forth. I say, but what the price you are paying? Your children, I can tell you now that majority of them will lose Islam if you are not careful. So because the way you are teaching, Islam has just become a bypass thing, you understand? Learn 5-6 surahs, learn how to read namaz, make wuzu, they finish. That is Islam. And this, so it don't work like that. So that our whole educational system we have to look at. So number two, then when you must remember the growing up, their friends and so forth. Who is going to be their friends? So that is a big, big problem today. So they also want their fun. They also want their sports. They also want their weekends and so forth and so on. So who is there to monitor and so forth? So till the parents are not going to be the role model and the friend of their children, till then it becomes very, very difficult. Let me be honest about this. Then third one, now we have the pandemic, if you want to call it, of drugs, of alcohol, of, you must remember, all these vices and so forth. If you go, I remember when I used to do a program there for Cape Town, I used to tell them that on some mensa, as duck, fundi tuk af. On some mensa, as duck, our people are fed up with the tuk. Just go and see how many of our Muslims, children, adults are involved in tuk and what. So all the, and our girls, how many are involved? So how come we have reached this stage? Something is wrong. And we have to think about these things here. You see that they have made the vices very, very easily accessible and they legalize it and so forth. Think now, today's news, I give you today's news. They said next month or whenever the Olympics is taking place there in Japan, right? So now because of the pandemic and all that, they won't give out millions of condoms. They'll give out 150,000 condoms, you understand, to the athletes who are participating and so forth. Then they even made one interesting comment. Interesting meaning something for us as Muslims to learn. All this obviously haram. So that they said that the first time at a mass scale condoms were distributed at Olympics was during 1988, you see, in the Seoul. Seoul is South Korea and all that. I went there. So, and at the place I stayed, also, when I went Fajr time, you can just see the condoms also lying on the street. So you must remember this. So I even asked them, how come you? He said, no, we wanted, you must have a program after Fajr. So I told them, okay, this next night I want to go somewhere else. So anyway, that they gave them, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands condoms and so. They call it Olympic Games, but I think they're more busy with other extramural activities, you know, and there are all this other kind of activities. Astaghfirullah. So how many children today at school, at university, they already, you must remember, tried everything out. Say, no, we're using condom, everything is all right. So see, so this condom mentality has to come out. You can't be solving a problem from the fruits. You have to sort out the problem. The best part, inverted commas, our Muslim, leave non-Muslim, our Muslim today, he wants to have fun at school, high school, fun at varsity, college, all. But when he gets married, he says, I'm looking for a virgin girl. But you yourself, you khabis, you impure, you immoral. That's the word Quran uses. Even if you get married to the tayyiba, to the chaste lady, you will not like her because she'll be too homely for you. She will be too conservative for you. You will like the lady who's a mover and so forth. That is the nature of human being. Al khabisatu lil khabisin, al tayyibatu lil tayyibin. So these are all the challenges. Your education is a challenge. That, remember, their chastity and virginity is a challenge. Then remember, the drugs, alcohol industry is a challenge. Then you must remember, selection of spouse for them is a challenge. Then next one, you must remember, when will they learn to stand on their own feet? So when you see today what's happening, that's why I say there's so much abuse of zakat. They say, no, I just collect zakat because now I'm at varsity, I'm at college, I'm at madrasa, I'm this. So you see, even our field, our Maulana field, Alim field, that's why me, I'm dead again. With Allah's help, Allah Ta'ala help me right through, and Allah's help is always. My father, Allah Ta'ala give both of them, father, mother, Jannatul Firdaus. We never took bursary, we never took any, you know, loan, nothing. He said, you, my son, I pay everything for you. Every madrasa I studied, we paid for the food, we paid for this, paid for that. No zakat business, not once, alhamdulillah. Then we came, mashallah, I was teaching Newcastle, so no zakat business, you know. Now take a Maulana today, you know, Muslim. So what happens, I want to enroll my son, in a darulum, any darulum. Then I go to the Maulana, the principal, I say, you know what? Okay, I can't really pay this amount and all that, 1,000, 2,000, or 500, whatever it is. Say, no problem, we'll pay it from the zakat funds. So my son, for that 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, so now he's living on zakat. But you see the watch he's wearing, the kurta he's wearing, the car maybe he's driving, tip-top condition, but he's collecting zakat. Now when he graduates, now what he's going to do? He says, now I want independence. So he opens his own madrasa. Now every week, second week, he's collecting zakat. Collecting zakat for what? For his madrasa. When I was a student, I was busy with zakat. Now when I'm a teacher, principal, this, I'm collecting zakat. Now you tell me, will there be barakah in that? There will be no barakah. And then you have to dance to the tune of your donors. You can never be independent, you can't speak the truth. Your truth is already compromised. Al-insanu abdul ihsan. That the human being, he is always going to be the slave of those, the people who do favors for him. So we as ulama, or hafaz, or imam, whatever you want to call us, students, or whatever. So, khuddamuddin, we also need to look at, really speaking, you understand, are we really making ulama, or are we just making more zakat collectors, you know, and this type of things. So Allah have mercy, we are 100% for darulums, we are 100% for this, but this mentality I'm speaking about. So because everybody today wants their own thing, so why are you going to say, just get 10, 20 African students and say, this is my madrasa. Then we collect for money for 50 students. So 20 students I'll give them, another 20 students in my wages, we pocket it. So that is how we operate today. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So these are the challenges we need to address and redress.
Alhamdulillah, we welcome our listeners back to this program. Mufti Saab, we don't intend to shun our youth away. So how can we contribute to making a difference in their lives and being better role models?
100% is very good. Many a time you must remember, instead of bringing them nearer, we chase them away. Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib Nawwarullah Marqadahu, such a waliullah, he spent over 40 years in Medina Munawwara. Then he was expelled, and I was there the day he had to leave. So remember that, you know, and one sentence, Haji Farooq Rahimahullah is senior khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawwarullah Marqadahu. So I told Hazrat, our Haji Farooq Sahib, I said, Hazrat, this is Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib's last salami, he's going now. So he then told me one sentence, yo, ye log najdi hai, wajdi nahi. That these people are najd, you know. So meaning that the hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, najd, there will be a lot of fitnas. And you can't say everybody, but a lot of fitnas come out from there and so forth. They're not wajdi. They all understand tasawwuf and all this type of thing. They don't want to understand. Anyway. So, Hazrat Mohsin Ahmad Khan Sahib, one day, he was giving a lecture, we were sitting there, and he said, ke izala ki zarurat nahi, imala ki zarurat hai. Subhanallah, what words he used. He said, don't make izala, O teachers, O parents, O elders, don't make izala. Don't let the children go away from you and chase them away. They channelize their activities. They got what you call in English, latent talent. Latent talent. So what is latent talent? They have hidden potential. To exploit that potential and use it. Everybody don't have to become Hafiz. Everybody don't have to become Maulana and Alim and Mufti and Imam and Sheikh. So Allah made a Sahaba, very few were ulama and hufaz and so forth. Majority were businessmen, majority were people, remember, that were involved in farming. But everybody was a good, dedicated, devoted Muslim. Allah Ta'ala praised them so many places in the Noble Quran. So what we need to do is this. Don't let it. So how are we going to do that? So number one, worth our love. Show them. We are telling them things which are better for them. Second one, it must be dealt with compassion and stone, not with harshness and hardness. Then you will change them away. Third one, we ourselves must become the role model. See today, you know, in America, even South Africa now is starting and all that, guns, right? How many of our youngsters can even handle a gun properly? I'm asking you. We all complain. I complain, you complain, we all complain of crime. Allah forbid, daily we make dua. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Ya Allah, you are the best protector. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. But He Almighty Allah is the most merciful one to show mercy. But how many of us can really handle a revolver, can handle a pistol? AK-47 is very big still. So maybe somebody can, but generally I will not. A simple, how many of our guys? They are just hold a revolver, pistol, they who will break. You see? So we are giving the enemies, the criminals, the upper hand. That when they come, Allah forbid, to our shop, our farm, wherever, so they know that these people are soft targets. So we must learn not to go and cause harm to people. Nay, we never advocate violence. But for self-protection, self-defense, to protect our women, protect our children, all that. A Muslim in this day and this age must be a sharpshooter. So that is what is needed, remember. Now get the youngsters, get your children, all of them involved. 20 years old, 18 years old, this, and all that. Let them go for training. Don't go with the back route and bribery. And no, follow the channels. And this type of, a simple thing. So how many of them will be interested in that? You will see. So many. But what we done, say, no, I don't want no gun in my house here already, you see. So that is the wrong policy and these type of things here. When you know you are living in the crime capital of the world, we in one of the top 5 or top 10 countries in the world regarding crime. So this is one example I'm giving. So don't make izala, make imala. And that is bring them in those fields where they love. Swimming. How many of our youngsters know how to swim? I mean, I look at myself, you know, I used to play soccer, I used to play cricket, I used to play tennis and all these things, but I could never swim. So people, when I go to Durban, my family, they always used to laugh. That why you can't? I say, no, there's no beach day in Joburg, you know, just pick one story and this type of things there. But we never learned it, you see. So you don't have to be dressed naked like the non-Muslim and others. So you dress properly and go learn how to swim and all this stuff, which is a sunnah actually, then this type of thing. Then your archery, then your bow and arrow, and so many other things. But gun today is very, very important. So in that way there, you channelize their latent talent in fields that they love. But you must always emphasize and reiterate the true intention. The true intention must be we doing this so that for the love of Allah, for the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the love of jihad. Did not Nabi alayhi salatu salam say, Man qutila duna mali fa wa shaheed? Man qutila duna ahli fa wa shaheed? So if people come, there's a whole chapter, but today our people don't know this, that qatlu sa'il, sword, alif, hamza, lam. So sa'il is when that attacker comes and attacks you, as is happening today. So two things will happen, either he kills you or you kill him. So the hadith in Tirmidhi, so they asked Nabi alayhi salatu salam, if he kills us, and we know today what's happening, Nabi alayhi salam said he's shaheed and a martyr. So then Nabi alayhi salam was asked, but what happens if we kill him? Then Nabi alayhi salam said, huwa finnar. We are not suggesting for a moment or a second we must go out and start shooting. We don't do all this. We never ever advocate. But we are speaking about self-protection, self-defense, call it whatever you want to. Self-protection, self-defense. At least we know something, how to defend ourselves, defend our family, our children, and so forth and so on. But we never even handle a gun in our life. AK-47, and then our guys never even saw that, you understand properly. So the point I'm making, that get our youth involved in such activities that they will love it also, and if you just channelize their intention, it could become mashallah. See at India, we have 100%, we are dead against what the Modi BJP government is doing. But if you go and see, go see what they did. For years and years, they got their youth and they got everybody prepared and this type of thing. One day when we come into power, then we will be ready. That's a different thing. They're using it in the wrong manner, causing harm to the Muslims, targeting the Muslims, all that. But the message I want, that Muslims as a ummah, you take the Arabs, how many of them even know how to use a gun? So only the person who went to army, the rest nobody really knows. So each one of us, especially like we in the West and so forth, so this is just one example I'm giving. So we should become much more proactive in these type of things.
Mufti Sahib, but with regards to Salah and the youth, how can we improve our Salah?
Easy example, people today are programmed, right? Ramadan came, Ramadan gone, Shawwal came, Shawwal gone. Today is the 6th of Zulqa'dah. From day of Eid, first Shawwal, you see the attendance in the masjid dipping. So what signal are we sending to our sons, our daughters? Be honest about that. So we ourselves, we just program Ramadan, I'll read my 5 daily salat. Ramadan, I'll read my Taraweeh, I will fast and then finish. And then it will be prayable when able. You know, in English, if I give you a loan, Molana, 1,000 rand, whatever, then you ask me, when must you pay me? So I tell you, payable when able. You know, you pay me whenever you can. So you say, payable when able. So our people, they changed at the birth and they made it prayable when able. Ya Allah, we will pray when we feel like. Inna lillahi. So it's like, you understand, Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam's people. Naf'alu fi amwalina ma nasha. That we will do what we feel like. Who are you to come and tell us? You see? So imagine this. So if we want the child, the children of ours, to be reading and performing salat, then take this 1-2 lessons and see what hadith says. First, we have to show via our deeds and actions the importance of salat. The father, 5 times a day, daily, he's in a masjid reading salat. The mother, 5 times a day, she's reading salat. Not she's reading asr salat 5, 10, 15 minutes before sunset. And then, no, that you are sending the wrong signals. Remember that. Nabi alayhi salam said, tilka salatul munafiq. That is the salat of a hypocrite and all. So that is a major sin. Although you must read your salat at that time also. So that's first one. Where's the dalil for this? Wa amur ahlaka bis salati wastabir alayha. You, Nabi alayhi salatu salam, command your family regarding pertaining to salat, and you yourself must remain constant in it. So Nabi alayhi salam is setting the precedent for humanity and posterity. The dua we must be reading. Surah 14, verse 40. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي. يا الله, make me of those that I establish salat, read salat, make others perform salat, and my children, my progeny also. ربنا وتقبل دعاء. Then look at the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. علموهم عند سبعين. They teach them about salah. Why is salat called salat? A select people want to get near the politician, near the mayor, near the president, near the prime minister, near the king. Allah says, come nearer to me, the King of Kings. Salat as-silatu, with a sword, as-silatu bayna al-abdi wa rabbi. It is the nexus, the link, the connection between slave and Almighty Allah. That is barakat of salat. So therefore, that make us, ya Allah, rabbi. So, allimuhum inda sab'in, teach them about salat when they 7 years old. And wadribuhum alayya inda ashar, so you discipline them at the age of 10. And Nabi alayhi salam write in his farewell advices what he said, as-salah, as-salah. So all this we need to start ta'aleem in your houses, create that environment and so forth. We're living in time of fitna and fasad, remember that. And things going to get much, much worse. Before a divorce took place, that family would be so ashamed. Today it has become the norm, Allah forbid. So before, if a person became murtad, he will never announce it. Today what? I'm a murtad, so what's the big deal? Allah forbid. So a person just left Islam. So remember that these trials, challenges will get bigger and bigger. Only Almighty Allah will help us. So our du'as, our noble example, teach them the importance of good character and so forth and leadership. Because we don't want to be late all the time. Tomorrow we're gone. The youngster have to take over. So who will run the masjid? Just today one Maulana came now. Yeah, he came now. He said, see, the Jamaat, they fired me and all these type of things. Yeah. Just now, before the program. So you must remember that. So there's another point also. I'll just make one. When you become the Imam, you become Maulana, become this, make sure the contract must not be one-sided, that they can just treat you as, you know, nulli-wulli and all that. So you must be very careful of these type of things. So Allah Ta'ala guide us, guide our youth, and inshallah make them all qurrata ayun, the coolness of the eyes. Quickly, that is almost news time now. So next up, we'll have the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. 12 to 1, we'll have Brother Alameen Templeton with the current affairs. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, and 1:05 to 1:30, we have the report back, the repeat of it, the moon issue, and especially what's happening with the moon in Saudi Arabia and so forth, you should know. 1:30 to 2, Tafsir of the Quran, Surah Anfal, verses 14 to 18. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Amor Zaid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A with Mona Arafat. 3:35, 3:40 with Brother Alameen Templeton with the economic news and views. So that will be till 5. 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. And then, mashallah, that will be that 7 o'clock to upper 7, the repeat of the khutbah of last week and the translation and so forth. 7:30 to 8 will be Mawlana Yunus Patel. 8 to 10, Mawlana Salim Kareem, Mawlana Arafat Atiyah with the discussion. And 10 to 11, that will be Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say Jazakumullah to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners. We head on for the news now. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.